Greetings, dear class of 2015. The gospel lesson we have just heard takes us away from here to another place, another time, and pay attention, another season, winter. A far cry from the 90 degrees and humidity that has marked your graduation weekend and that has bathed your faculty in sweat. Just telling you a little secret right now. And yet, the opening question of the story that Dr. Miles read may sound uncannily familiar to you, even though it's from years away and in the winter, because, let's be honest, how many people have been asking you, how long will you keep us in suspense? Come on, you're about to graduate from divinity school. So tell us plainly, what is all this call stuff really about? In the gospel lesson, the religious authorities come up to Jesus in the temple at a time well into his ministry, after he has healed an invalid, given sight to the blind, turned water into wine, fed multitudes from 5 loaves and 2 fish, preached the possibilities of new life grounded in God's love over and over and over again. And yet the religious authorities ask him, how long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly. And Jesus, exercising considerable, and let me suggest model, self-restraint, says, I told you, and you do not believe. I showed you, and you do not see. And then, as if somehow these words should settle it, you do not believe because you do not belong to my sheep. That's the answer. You do not belong to my sheep. How about you do not believe because your doctrine is not right? Or you do not believe because you are fallen and depraved? Or you do not believe because you don't work hard enough, aren't good enough, aren't pure enough? No, only this. You do not belong to my sheep. And then, with great gentleness, Jesus paints a picture of what it means to be his sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. To be Jesus' sheep is to be led to life, safe, sheltered in the palm of his hand. To be Jesus' sheep is to be known by him and to follow where he leads. To be Jesus' sheep is to trust the sound of his voice, to trust the voice of God that speaks through Jesus' words. Because, as we also heard in the lesson, it is the safety of God's hand that assures the safety of Jesus' hand. It is God we see and trust when we see and trust Jesus. To be Jesus' sheep is to be held secure in Jesus' hand and in God's hand. So the world, it seems, then consists not of sheep and goats, with all apologies to Matthew, but of sheep and those who are not sheep. And you, class of 2015, came to divinity school to learn to be sheep. You came to divinity school to learn to listen to and for the shepherd's voice, to follow where the shepherd leads, to receive the gifts the shepherd prepares. And if, as you leave here, very shortly, you forget that you are sheep, you may forget how to listen for the shepherd's voice. But if, as you leave here, you remember that you are sheep, surely goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. forget that you are sheep? Oh, by thinking instead that you are shepherds. Let's look again at the religious authorities who questioned Jesus in the temple. In John's day, when he wrote that gospel lesson, John calls these authorities the Jews. But it's important to remember that John is not talking about the Jewish people here. Here, in this conversation with Jesus, in the Jerusalem temple, the center of official religiondom, John says the Jews to refer to those leaders and authorities within Jesus' own religious tradition who resisted him, who would not allow the newness he offered to penetrate the systems and structures they had taken generations to construct. He speaks to the religious leaders of his own faith tradition. For contemporary Christians, Jesus' own people, the leaders of Jesus' own religion, access, point of access to God, are Christians, not Jews. And therefore, those religious authorities and powers who resist the voice of Jesus need to be sought within the church, not outside of it. For Jews in this gospel lesson, whenever it's said, then we need to think of those among Jesus' own who hold tightly to power and control. Religious authorities in the church who know how all questions should be asked and know what answers are acceptable. Who know how things are done, how things have always been done, and who know quite clearly where God is found. We need to think Christians, not Jews, when we hear this conversation with Jesus. Christians who are so intent on being shepherds themselves that they no longer listen like sheep for the voice of Jesus. The religious authorities in this gospel lesson think they are in charge. How long will you keep us in suspense? Tell us plainly. In other words, would you do it our way, please? And hence, they can't be sheep. Those who hold to, they do not belong to the sheep. Those who hold to power cannot, will not, must not listen to the voice of Jesus who challenges their tightly constructed world. Because to listen to the voice of Jesus means they're only sheep, never shepherds.
All right.
And those in charge have spent so much, given so much to be shepherds. How could they face being mere sheep again? And perhaps even closer to home, the English word pastor is simply a transliteration of the Latin word for shepherd, pastor, which in Latin means one who feeds. The temptation to shift one's self-understanding from sheep to shepherd is pretty easy to understand if people around you all the time call you pastor or shepherd every time they speak to you or about you. Yet, that is the choice that Jesus puts before these authorities in this story and before us. Be sheep, not shepherds. Let God and I be the shepherd. And in saying this, Jesus is in many ways repeating one of the most beloved hymns of his and our tradition. Who could resist being a sheep if we can be tended by such a shepherd who, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The shepherd makes me lie down in green pastures. The shepherd leads me beside still waters. The shepherd restores my soul. In singing about God the shepherd, the psalmist tries so hard to be objective. The psalm starts all in third-person language. The Lord this, the shepherd this. But then, The gracious gifts of the Good Shepherd ultimately overpower the song, and the psalmist has to address God directly. You heard it in the reading. You are with me. You prepare a table for me. You anoint my head with oil. I am your sheep, sings the psalmist. Though I walk through life's darkest moments, I'm not afraid of any evil because I know you watch over me with your shepherd's rod and staff. Psalm 23 paints an irresistible picture of what it means to live as God's sheep, to let God be the shepherd. The shepherd's care is offered in the midst of conflict and fear, the presence of my enemies, the darkest valley, hunger, thirst, homelessness, abandonment. The shepherd's care is intimate, elemental, immediate, food, drink, rest, refreshment, safety. What the psalmist celebrates, what Jesus and John describes as the shape of the life of faith, this is what it means to be a sheep, to trust one's life to God's tender, watchful care, to place one's fears and needs in God's sheltering hand, to live out one's day in the sure attention of Jesus' protecting hand, to listen, to follow, to be fed, to know that you are known, and like the psalmist, to give thanks to the shepherd. So does this mean, graduates, that you have spent all this time and effort, have asked so much of those who love you to end up where you started, as God's sheep? Well, yes and no, or to say, thank you very much. Gospel of John class, the answer to almost every question is, so yes, both and. There can be no more yes, because there can be no more grace-filled life than to be a sheep in God's flock. And no, because the time you have spent here, being here, has taught you to be a sheep in a way that were not possible and available to you before. And John and I did not consult, but when I heard his prayer, I was like, wow, the Spirit really must have been blowing. You have learned to hear and recognize the voice of the shepherd in the complex and conflicted pages of Scripture, in the great cloud of witnesses, some noble, some ignoble, who people the history of the church. You have learned to ask questions about theology and ethics that will help you to see what is at stake when one follows the shepherd. You have learned to recognize the face of the shepherd in the faces of the poor and the despised, to hear the anguished voice of the shepherd in the pain-filled voices of the rejected, the lonely, the helpless, the forlorn. God willing, in your time here, you have learned to listen to the world's pain, your pain, the church's pain. You have a new understanding of what it means to offer pastoral care, to speak and preach a pastoral word. You know where food is needed, where thirst is real, and what a miracle it is when, in the face of all of that, it is possible, remains possible, to envision still waters, overflowing cups, green pastures. Yes, class of 2015, you have learned much. But if you begin to think that knowing these things positions you as the shepherd instead of the sheep, think again. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. Pastors to be, ask yourselves, who is feeding you if being a shepherd causes you to forget that you are God's sheep. This is the life of ministry. This is the life of faith, to share with all of God's sheep in the restorative, grace-filled gifts of God. And so, may goodness and mercy follow you all the rest of your days.